Every autumn, the Jewish community observes a holiday called Rosh Hashanah, also called the Feast of Trumpets. On this day, a shofar, a ram's horn, is blown. Most Christians find little meaning in the Feast of Trumpets, but this day holds an important message for you and your future. There are connections between this ancient holy day, the idea of the Christian rapture, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Join us on Beyond Today as we explore the shofar, the rapture, and the Feast of Trumpets.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Jackie has been a Christian all her life. She believes that we are fast approaching a time of massive war, disease epidemics, and natural calamities. She also believes that God is going to save her by the rapture. Now, many Christians believe that the rapture is a prophesied event where Christ raptures away Christians into the clouds before the time of the Great Tribulation. Jackie worries about her husband, who isn't concerned with any church or the Bible. Will he be left behind to suffer and possibly die? At a synagogue down the street, a group of Orthodox Jews meet to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. Now, part of this ceremony will be the blowing of the shofar, or the ram's horn. In ancient times, the shofar was blown for various reasons, including a call to war or the heralding of an important event. Now, it would appear that these two events, a Christian woman thinking about the rapture and a group of Orthodox Jews observing the Feast of Trumpets, have nothing in common. The truth is that the Feast of Trumpets is a celebration of one of the most important times for both Jews and Christians. It is a day that celebrates events that are yet to happen. On Beyond Today, we're going to explore the wonderful meaning of the Feast of Trumpets and how, for Christians, understanding what this day pictures can change your understanding of God's plan for all humanity and for you personally. You know, the book of Revelation tells of a time when seven angels will blast seven trumpets. Each one heralds a great event during the time leading to the return of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings. You know, a careful study of these events shows that Jackie's concern about the rapture is based on a wrong understanding of the prophecies. Now, if you're a Christian who believes in the rapture, about this time you're saying, oh, I know, this guy is absolutely wrong. The rapture is mentioned in the Bible by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. Well, if you believe in the rapture, stick around. Take the challenge, stick around. If you've always wondered about the rapture, what we're going to do is we're going to look at four passages in the Bible that are used to describe the rapture and events leading up to the return of, involved in the return of Jesus Christ. So let's start with the very verses that those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and I stress that, those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and here is where they read and say this is talking about those events. So get your Bible. If you don't have one, get one and follow along, because this is very important as we compare these four passages about this important teaching. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Here, the Apostle Paul, as he does through all his writings, talks about death as sleep. And he always refers to the resurrection. When the dead are raised, they are awakened and they are raised. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So once again, those who die sleep. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Now, listen to what he said. There is going to be a resurrection, but those who are alive at the return of Jesus Christ will not precede those who are dead. That's an important message right there. Hold on to that. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall always be with the Lord." And so this passage is promoted by those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture to say Jesus is coming before the tribulation. And at this time, those who are alive who are true Christians will be brought up into the air, supernaturally changed to meet with him and miss the tribulation. But is that what Paul is actually saying? What we're going to do is we're going to compare this, as I said before, with three other passages. So it's important that you have your Bible in front of you. We will be showing you and comparing these passages. So let's look at what Jesus taught about this. What Jesus said is in Matthew chapter 24. Now this, of course, is the famous Olivet prophecy, where Jesus got together with his disciples and explained to them things that were going to happen before his second coming. And here he says in verse 29, so this is Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation. So we know what he's talking about. He's talking about not pre-tribulation, but post-tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. The whole earth will see Jesus Christ coming back. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now look at this. When we compare these two scriptures, we see that in 1 Thessalonians, there's really not a time period mentioned, but it's talking about Jesus returning. In Matthew, we know that this time period, this event happens after the tribulation. Where is Christ? Well, in both stories, both accounts, he's in the clouds. Who is gathered? Well, in 1 Thessalonians, the dead first, then those who are alive. In Matthew, it says the elect. Who is raised first? Well, in 1 Thessalonians, it says the dead. And what will be heard? Now, this is very important. As we discuss the rapture and the shofar, and the Feast of Trumpets. It's important to understand, and we see certain threads that tie these scriptures together. What will be heard? The voice of an archangel in 1 Thessalonians, and a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians. And in Matthew, a trumpet. We're going to see how the blast of the shofar is so important in understanding these events and what happens, and understanding what the Bible truly teaches about the tribulation. Are Jesus and Paul talking about two different events, or are they contradicting each other? Now, to answer these questions, we have two other passages to explore. But before we do, I want to personally offer you a free booklet that explains what the Bible really teaches about the Feast of Trumpets and its importance to Christians. God's Holy Day Plan will take you step by step through the annual holy days given by God to ancient Israel, and get this, observed by Jesus and the early New Testament church. You've probably heard that these are Jewish observances that are not important to Christians. Well, it's just not true. These divinely ordained holy days reveal God's plan of salvation for humanity. God's Holy Day Plan will show you the deep spiritual meaning for Christians, for the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. In reading this booklet, your walk with God will change forever. Go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to read or order your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan, or call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. Write it down. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv. So what does the Bible really teach about the shofar, the rapture, and the Feast of Trumpets? How do these tie together? So far, we've compared what Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians with what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. We saw that both of these events involve Jesus coming. He is in the clouds. Both involve gathering of the elect in 1 Thessalonians, both the dead first and then those who are alive. And, of course, the sound of a trumpet. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Take your Bible and turn there. This is a very important chapter. It's known as the resurrection chapter, because in this chapter, the Apostle Paul explains about the resurrection that happens at the return of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Those who are alive will not precede those who are dead and resurrected. So when does the resurrection take place? Verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now listen to what Paul says. We shall not all sleep. Once again, he compares death to sleep. You see this all through Paul's writings. But we shall all be changed. See, those who are alive at the return of Jesus Christ will be changed. They will meet him in the clouds. Verse 52 tells us when. This is very important in this context of understanding the shofar, the rapture, and the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 52, follow along. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those who are alive are changed at the same time the dead are raised. Well, when are the dead raised? Let's look at this once again just for a minute and compare the three passages. 1 Thessalonians, Matthew, 1 Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians isn't stated when it's happening, but Matthew states after the tribulation. 1 Corinthians says the last trumpet. Now that's real important. You see, the book of Revelation states that there will be seven major events that happen toward the end of the tribulation. These events are called the seven trumpets. And it is at the last or seventh trumpet that Christ returns. Now, before we go on, I want to go back and look again at what we're looking at comparing these three passages. In 1 Thessalonians, Jesus is in the clouds. In Matthew, Jesus is in the clouds. We see who is gathered, the dead and the saints, the elect, and once again, the dead and the saints. Who is raised first? In both 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, the dead. These have to be the exact same events. And then notice what's really important. In all three situations, there is the sound of the shofar. The blast of a shofar, an angel blast out so that the whole world will hear. And the dead are raised, and then those who are alive. 1 Corinthians is taking place at the same time that Matthew is talking about. And Matthew is taking place at the same time that Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians. And they are not before the tribulation. The rapture does not take place before the tribulation because Matthew says, or Jesus says in Matthew, it's after the tribulation that this takes place. And so as we begin to look and put these verses together, we see what the Bible really teaches. There's one more scripture I want to go to, and that's in Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. These are the four major passages that are used in discussing the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ. Seems very complicated, but it's four basic passages. Each one is only a handful of verses. So when we compare them, as we keep showing you, and you can compare them together, you see that each one is speaking of the same event. What's so important there in 1 Thessalonians is that we will not precede, Paul says, those who are dead. That means that the resurrection of the dead happens just before those that are changed. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Here, the Apostle John says, and I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and not received his mark in their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now I want you to read verse 5. Read it with me. Notice what it says. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be the priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. The dead are raised at the end of the tribulation, at the seventh trump, or as 1 Corinthians says, the last trump, because there's seven trumpets. It cannot happen that there are those that are changed before the tribulation and go up to meet Jesus in the clouds when Paul says we will not precede them. When is the first resurrection? According to what we've looked at in Matthew and 1 Corinthians and now in Revelation, the first resurrection is at the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation. Do you see what the Bible clearly teaches? clearly teaches. Paul himself in Thessalonians clearly teaches, we will not precede them, and according to your Bible, the resurrection does not take place until Christ comes back. He gathers his elect. He gathers those who are resurrected and those who are brought to life at that time and meet him in the air, and they come down with him to the Mount of Olives to establish God's kingdom on this earth. So when you compare the four together, we see that in these scriptures, it is plain that there is little support for the pre-tribulation rapture. Jesus Christ is returning for his followers, but it will be at the end of the tribulation, at the sound of the last trumpet, as Paul wrote, or the seventh trumpet, as we see in the book of Revelation, when all the elect and dead are changed together. Now, we've seen the importance of the blowing of the shofar, or the trumpet. It is the sound that the world hears when the resurrection takes place. It is the sound that the world hears as Christ returns. It is the sound that the world hears when those who are alive are brought up into the clouds to meet Jesus. That is going to happen. It's the question of when it happens that's important. But what does this have to do with you and the Feast of Trumpets? Now, we'll be right back to explain something you've probably never heard and help you understand God's grand design for the future of humanity. We'll be right back.
Foreclosures, broken families, a shrinking job market, young lives snuffed out. Just turning on the news bombards us with all kinds of tragedies, man-made and otherwise. Meanwhile, the governments of the world struggle to continue functioning as humanity slides toward destruction. But don't lose hope. A plan, set into motion more than 6,000 years ago, is steadily moving toward its awesome conclusion. It is a plan of hope for the entire human race, past, present, and future, and mankind's only hope for stopping its march toward self-annihilation. To learn more about this divinely authored plan and what it means for you, request your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind, by calling 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv. That's 1-888-886-8632 or beyondtoday.tv.
When you order your booklet, we'll also send you a free one-year subscription to The Good News Magazine. Now remember, all the literature we offer on Beyond Today is absolutely free. And this magazine is going to help you in understanding the scripture and making it relevant to your life. So go online right now to beyondtoday.tv and you can read or order your booklet or call 1-888-886-8632. To discuss the shofar, the rapture, and the Feast of Trumpets, we're joined by fellow Beyond Today host Steve Myers and Dearest McNeely. Now, let's wrap up what we've been talking about. Why does the belief in the pre-tribulation rapture not measure up to biblical scrutiny?
Most people turn to that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4. And if you really look at that, you study the original languages, it's very easy to see that if you don't go with predetermined ideas or preconceived ideas, it doesn't measure up to what it's really saying, especially when, you know, you did such a great job comparing the different passages. But if you look at that one specifically, just look at the words to meet Christ or meet the Lord in the air. Mm-hmm. That word for meet is an interesting word. If you were to use it and find out about it and the way it was used back in the day, that was used when a group would go out to meet a dignitary coming to visit a town. And what they would do is go outside the city walls, meet that dignitary, and then once they met them, they would bring them and escort them back into the city. And that's the way that word was used. So when 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about meeting the Lord in the air, the dead in Christ will rise, those that are alive at his coming will also rise, meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and then they'll return to the earth with him. In fact, it's so very clear. Look and compare that to Revelation 5. It says that we will reign with Christ on earth. And so it is so clear that we'll meet him in the air and we will be with him as he returns to the earth. We won't stay up in the clouds for some 3.5 years or 7 years or whatever some may conjecture. It's not like that at all. We'll meet Christ in the air and return to the earth.
You know, I've always been fascinated, Gary, by how people take this particular teaching. When the word rapture is not even mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
It is a term that comes from a, idea of a 19th century theologian that had some sincere knowledge about the Bible, but on this particular point, completely missed it and just sailed off into the ether. The word is not even in the Bible. The concept has to be stretched to fit to an idea. And so many people commonly believe it today when they have to look at these scriptures and miss really what is the most important teaching of the resurrection. The resurrection of the dead, as the scriptures talk about that comfort, that knowledge, that hope for the dead. And also, as Steve just mentioned, places them back on this earth for a far greater purpose, for a far more important, valuable reason than anything that is conjectured in this idea, this false idea of a rapture that people mistakenly read into the Bible.
It's kind of interesting what Darius said. When you read that whole context of 1 Thessalonians, it's talking about comforting those who had lost loved ones.
Yes.
Those who had died. Paul is talking to those who are still alive, saying, you know, there is hope. There's a hope of the resurrection. And so he's showing God's plan for those who have died, and he's saying we shouldn't grieve like others grieve. And that's the point. And you have to read it in that context, or you miss the whole point.
There's another point that should be made about the rapture as well that people just miss, as Steve just pointed out, especially in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That is where Paul gave hope to those who were grieving over those who had died. The rapture, I find so often, is a very selfish, motivated, and oriented teaching. People who are wanting to escape tribulation, they're wanting to escape something about this life, this world, and it makes an exclusive teaching for a select group of people. Mm-hmm. You see all the Left Behind series, the books, the popularizing of this particular idea. It focuses upon an elite, separatist group of people who are better than others. And I don't find that to be a biblical teaching or an idea. The rapture is not an idea from the scriptures. It goes counter to the very scriptures in which people try to extract that idea. It's a false teaching.
Now, of course, the Bible does talk about some of the elect being protected during the tribulation. That's a whole other subject.
A whole other subject.
It also, you know, when we look at that 1 Thessalonians and it says that we will not, those who are alive will not precede those who are dead. Mm-hmm. All we have to look at, when are the dead raised? Well, they're raised. The first resurrection is at Christ's return.
At Christ's coming.
If otherwise, there's two resurrections there, and the first one is at his return. So
yeah, I think you made it very clear that you've got the trumpets. The
yes.
Trumpets are sounding, and that last trump, you know, with the shout of an angel and the sound of a trumpet, the dead will rise. So that's a resurrection. It's not a rapture.
Now, let's tie this in. Obviously, now, this has something to do with the Feast of Trumpets. So how do we tie this together, the shofar, the rapture, and the Feast of Trumpets?
Yeah, I think you've got to understand the purpose behind these trumpets. They're warning sounds. They're saying something imminent is going to come about. And so we find all of these different trumpets sounding throughout the book of Revelation. And when you get to that last trump, that final trump, it signals something awesome is going to happen. And so when you compare that with 1 Corinthians 15 or 1 Thessalonians 4 and look at Matthew 24, we begin to see that that is heralding the return of Jesus Christ. And so that Feast of Trumpets has this amazing connection to Christianity. It's not some Jewish thing. It is a Christian thing that it's heralding the return of Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, the very sound of the trumpet was a warning that something momentous was about to happen, as we see portrayed and used by the Israelites within the Bible. And you trace these resurrection scriptures, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that talks about the at the time of the sounding of the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised.
The last, and it says that the last trump too.
Right. At the last trump, and connect that with the scriptures in Revelation, then you have a complete connection of trumpets and the sounding of those trumpets with the resurrection, heralding not just Christ's return, but the opening of the graves for those who have died in the faith.
Go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things, maybe even to add to that just a little bit, I believe it's Revelation 11:15, where it talks about the last trump will sound, Jesus Christ returns, and then the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And so there we have, in connection with the last trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ, and then the establishment of the kingdom of God. So Christ returns to earth to establish God's kingdom.
So, Darius, should Christians observe the Feast of Trumpets?
If they want to get closer to a biblical record to a biblical teaching, yes, they should keep the Feast of Trumpets. If they want to follow...
Actually observe it.
Actually observe it, because it is an observance that is biblical. It is what the New Testament church, it's what the apostles taught. It is found in the teaching of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. And it is far more significant, far more informative, far more hopeful than any other celebration, any other traditional holiday that has religious connotations that has been contrived through human tradition. It is biblical, it is accurate, it is true, it gives hope, shows the future.
Well, all three of us, of course, observe the Feast of Trumpets as mm-hmm. Christians.
Yes.
Now, many people would find that strange. It's different. We do keep it, though, different than the way the Jews do. But I have to say, observing the Feast of Trumpets has been, for me, one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. In keeping the Feast of Trumpets, I come to a deeper understanding of God's plan of salvation carried out through Jesus Christ, because he is coming back. He's coming back to establish God's kingdom on this earth at the sound of the seventh trumpet. And the dead will be raised, and those who are alive at that time and are his, who are Christians, will be changed, and we'll meet him in the clouds and then return with him to establish that kingdom. We'll be back right after this.
Just turning on the news bombards us with all kinds of tragedies, man-made and otherwise. But don't lose hope. God has a plan, and it is steadily moving toward its awesome conclusion. It is a plan of hope for the entire human race, past, present, and future. Request your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind, by calling 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv. That's 1-888-886-8632 or beyondtoday.tv.
While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
You've probably heard that the Feast of Trumpets is an old Jewish observance and not important for Christians. You know, this just isn't true. The Feast of Trumpets celebrates the truth of Christ's return and reveals the fallacy of the pre-tribulation rapture. People today are searching for spiritual meaning and new ways of worship. You know, all we really have to do, folks, is return to the ways of worship ordained by God, our Creator. And that includes the annual holy days that reveal the truth of God's plan of salvation. I urge you to experience the spiritual joy in observing the Feast of Trumpets. For Beyond Today, I'm Gary Petty. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.